Pickaxe.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Folks, welcome to Dungeons and Randomness. Since 2012, myself and an amazing cast of 18 have been telling stories in our homebrew world of Theria. Four different groups explore lost ruins, run for political office, rage against a mad king, set sail to long forgotten islands, and so much more. Every group has a different story and flavor, and every season or arc has a new set of groups and stories, all building the history of our world with every single session. Literally hundreds of hours of stories are waiting for you as part of the Pickaxe Network. Check out Dungeons and Randomness wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you around the table.
Ho, ho, ho!
Merry Christmas, everyone. Simon, how you doing?
I am very merry.
I'm feeling very Christmassy.
Yeah? Are you very jolly?
Yes. I'm having a great time.
And you've got an eyelash on your, just underneath
on my
your eye.
Just underneath. It's good that you're here to do my
makeup. I'm supposed to pluck it off and then...
Say a wish?
And then I say, blow it and make a wish.
I wish for lots of presents.
Oh, I'm sure you'll get them, Lewis. I hope you like gin and tea related things. That's all you're fucking gonna get.
Merry fucking Christmas. What?
I'm just thinking, did you put fucking... Is that gin?
How else do I get through these pee-pees unless fueled by copious amounts of alcohol? We've been doing this for a while now.
I don't know what your problem is with my pee-pee.
Did we do a pee-pee last year?
Now, on to Christmas iguana news.
I don't think we did.
So, we're going to look to see if there's an update on the... On the goat.
Gervler. So we talked about this on the Yog Pod.
Back in the day,
and I remember it burned down.
It burned down.
Multiple times. And it was this whole story, though. A wild ride. If you ever want to check out the full Wikipedia page, I think it has a pretty detailed breakdown there.
It's a long page
of all the shit that goat has been going through. So there's this Swedish town.
Yeah. Called Gervle.
They build a big Yule goat.
Yeah.
Made of...
Or Christmas goat.
Yeah. as it's said.
Yeah.
out of straw, usually, or wood, sometimes framed.
Highly flammable materials.
Usually very burnable.
Yeah.
And sometimes they cover it in burn-proof material or try to prevent it from being burned down, only to find that... They still find a way.
Yeah.
They come back with petrol cans, they being pranksters.
It's become a meme. Burning the fucking goat has become a meme.
So
over,
people travel,
like, 40
I mean,
years.
Even back in the day, like 20 years ago, people were traveling from America to burn this fucking thing down. Do you know what I mean?
And the
guys were like, I thought you were supposed to burn it down.
You can get 3 months in prison if you burn down the goat.
But Swedish
they take
prison,
it very
though,
seriously.
So it's like quite
it's,
chill.
It's like, basically like a holiday camp.
It's like a sauna. It's nice. It's nice, probably. Haven't been. But I haven't burned the goat down. Maybe I should.
So we're gonna.
Maybe you should. Maybe you should.
Check the updates. Okay?
Think about it. Just
so,
think about it.
If you look at the Wikipedia article, it's already got 2020 to 2029.
Optimistic.
They're already preparing
for the next
for
10 years
future
of
future events
of accidents.
So, as you may notice. 2017, it did not burn down. They have security measures, extra measures put in place.
A double fence.
Yes, there's a fence and then there's another fence. So you've got to get through two fences.
It's like Glastonbury.
Or it's like guarding a castle or something.
Right.
With like a
moat.
Yeah.
Cannons.
A drawbridge. They have the like burning pitch. They pour down on you. That kind of thing. They also, of course, have security cameras.
Except
they have
it's Christmassy.
Creatures.
It's like burning. It's like the hot filling of mince pies.
Oh my god!
Just pouring on you.
It's hotter than the sun.
Yeah.
They that also have security guards. security guards on site.
Armed, in disguise?
Machine guns. Oh. They're all disguised as Santa.
Yeah. Yeah. With candy canes with guns hidden in them.
Sure. Serious stuff.
Oh, God. So no one even attempted to burn it down in 2017.
Well, do you know what, though? That was when it was starting to become passé.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Everyone was like, oh, Gavligo, boring. Ugh. We're not going to burn that down. But then it became meme-y again, and people picked it up. You know, like, there's a cycle.
Well, I mean, you say that. 2018, it didn't burn down. It had the fencing, cameras and guards again.
Right.
Oddly enough, it says added security measures, taxi rank to increase numbers of people nearby.
Right. Wow. So, in fact, this was... So, basically, what then
like
happened was... So, obviously, after it burned down multiple times all the way up to 2016, I guess it was burned down every year up till 2016,
There were a few where it didn't. Here and there, it didn't.
But it was mostly...
There's a lot of it burning. 37 times it's been burnt.
So, obviously, the point is that what happened was it was starting to get like a lolcat, and everyone's mum had heard about it and thought it was funny that it burned down. So, you know, the internet still didn't think it was cool to burn it down. Mm. But... everyone's mums on the internet was now visiting because they were like, lol, they've got like a t-shirt with the Gavligo on it. Do you know what I mean? It's people are traveling all over the place.
I think during this period of time, people wanted like more positivity, more hope. And that, you know, they loved the goat. People loved the goat. They didn't want to see it burn.
Right.
Well, I mean, some people still did.
I do.
Someone did attempt to burn it. There was minor damage to the left front leg in an attempted burning.
Okay. Well, that's what happens sometimes.
The Twitter account that covers the goat recorded two incidents of note, right? Mm-hmm. These are very significant events. An unspecified harassment, that's all it goes into.
Of the goat?
Of the goat.
What, someone like... called it names?
I think someone just...
bothered like, it? All right, I see. They burned it in their mind.
They called the goat a wanker. Like, lame! You're a lame goat! Well, suck!
Sick burns Boo! Are not the same as... fiery burns. Carry on.
And the other event was someone attempted to break into the enclosure, and when they were questioned, they said that they wanted to use the toilet.
Right.
But they were probably lying. They were probably looking to burn it down.
Yeah. So then, the next year, 2019, double fence, 24-hour CCTV, two guards patrol around the goat frequently.
24 hours a day.
24 hours a day.
They had a canine unit. That's dogs.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure. And they smell the accelerants, right?
Sure.
There was an incident, though. On 30th of December, fire crews responded to a call that the goat was burning, only to discover that it was, in fact, a smaller goat that someone had brought along with them and torched at the scene.
I suspect someone was attempting to do what's known as sympathetic magic. So they thought, if we bring, like voodoo dolls. So they brought in a tiny goat, set fire to it, and they were hoping that that would mean that the other larger goat would catch fire.
Just by seeing it smaller in sympathy for.
Yeah, like there's a connection, a magical connection between the small goat and the large goat.
That's what they were doing.
Yeah.
Maybe, though, what they were doing was one of those TikTok sort of false perspective things where, you know, they try they grab the Eiffel Tower. They were doing that with the small goat.
The camera's like really, really low, looking up at the goat.
Yeah, and they have like the fake goat in front of the real goat.
They got like a little tiny car that they brought on, so it looks like a real car.
Yeah, that's right.
To scale.
And a little tiny person with a little tiny fuel can.
Yeah.
And then he douses it.
And little tiny fencing.
A little tiny match.
And then another fencing around that.
Yeah, a little tiny canine unit.
Yeah.
With all this. So cute.
Aww.
But yeah. That's great news. Survived 3 years in a row. I'm sort of apprehensive about what happened last year because I don't know what happened last year.
Well, it survived again. 2020, it survived. This is unprecedented.
4 years in a row.
4 years in a row, the goat is surviving. There wasn't just CCTV this year. There was a webcam showing it, so you could watch the goat
yourself.
Well, it says here, due to the COVID-19 pandemic, the inauguration was digital. When I read that, I thought the goat was digital.
Digital goat.
Well, I mean...
And then hackers got into it.
And burned it down.
Oh, my God. Instead of... What if...
An NFG.
No. What if the organisers fucked up and they were like, we've got to protect the goat. Does anyone know anything about internet security? And someone's like, yeah, we need to have a firewall. And that was the problem. The firewall set
spread
fire to the goat.
To the goat.
So people were advised to not attend in person. That's the big thing.
Right, clever.
So it was kind of a lower key thing. So it's not that surprising that it's survived.
Yeah, I feel like last year everyone was on pretty tense. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think people were feeling bad for everyone and everything. And I feel like burning the goat just wasn't going to be the same, you know? But this year,
who knows? Who knows? We'll have to keep an eye on it.
Well, we're recording.
Hopefully there'll be a webcam feed of it and we'll be able to watch it.
As of this recording, it's fine, according to this Wikipedia article. But
it is November. So we don't know.
So that wasn't really news, was it?
I guess it is news.
That was
good news.
10 minutes of us saying a goat hasn't burned
down.
That's
good news, though, Lewis.
Why is it news, though?
It's good news. News doesn't always have to be negative. It doesn't always have to be about disasters and deaths
and
injustices.
And poo.
Sometimes it can be about positive things, like a giant goat not burning down.
Well, I'm glad we've told everyone this, kept everyone up to date. I feel like it's a good throwback, you know, too, to the old Yogpod back in the day, because we were. I'm not saying we were responsible for some of those early burnings, but we certainly were
cheering it on.
We were egging it on.
Yeah.
Eggnogging it on, if you like.
And that was very bad of us. So, you know, maybe we should just
this
say something.
Yeah, do you want to say something?
Please, please do not...
Do not
burn the goat down.
Goat down this year or into the future. Unless...
Don't burn the goat down.
You have brought your own to the scene, perhaps. You can burn that. Or you can get away with it.
Lewis, are you looking forward to having your Christmas dinner this year?
Yeah.
You are a vegan, so you won't be having the turkey.
No.
A nut roast?
No.
Oh, so you don't stand, you don't sit too close to the burning fire to your balls. A Christmas dinner in a can. This is a classic thing. So there was the one that, I think it was Game released, which may never have actually ever been made, which had like layers of things in it.
Oh, yeah.
So you started off, you know, you had startery things, you had like a layer of then turkey and stuffing, and then at the bottom you had like pudding stuff in layers.
Yeah. Now, I mean, okay, that for me feels dangerous because you're eating out of a can. And that has a certain class to it. Do you know what I mean?
It feels like it was never meant to be a product. I don't think anyone has ever received one or should. I don't think there's any like YouTube videos, unless, you know, I may be wrong. Let me know in the comments, you know, of someone doing an opening of it and like, you know, getting a spoon and then showing off each fucking layer and... There's nothing about that. I don't think the thing ever existed. But this here is a real product that Heinz are making. A soup that has Christmas dinner stuff in it. Now, they are only making 500 tins. So it's ultra limited edition.
How is this going to, you know, be a solution to supermarket shortages for all the folks?
Soup.
So at a time, like, I guess there was a time when tins were the cool new thing, right?
Yeah.
And everyone was like, oh, I'd love to eat food out of a tin.
Which I believe was during, like, the Napoleonic War. Like, early 19th century.
Quite a while back.
Yeah.
But it was...
We've had tinned food for a long time.
But it was a cool idea.
A cool idea. However, they did tend to sort of leak and...
called the food, lead poisoning.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was
or molds.
Some number of such. Problems. And then we've sort of turned into tins being a standard cupboard necessity.
Yeah.
For certain things.
You know, I got a tin of, you know, Heinz ravioli and tomato sauce in the cupboard.
Peach slices, a classic. Or chopped tomatoes, right?
Evaporated milk.
Yeah, there's other things.
Beans!
Exactly.
Yeah.
And soup, I'm still kind of okay.
Yeah.
With it being in tins.
You don't always have to have, like, a fresh soup or fancy soup.
And I don't even think Christmas dinner soup is that big of an innovation, right? Because I think you'd find Walkers probably do Christmas dinner-flavoured crisps, and everyone's probably doing Christmas dinner-flavoured everything. There's probably, like, Christmas dinner-flavoured sausages.
I'm surprised this isn't already a product, the Christmas dinner soup. Then you can't just go out into a shop and just buy it now.
I don't think
they're only making 500.
It's not even that unappetizing. But, like, the Christmas dinner in a can idea is disgusting.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want my, like, the top layer being the cracker. You have to get that out, pick it out, and then crack that. And then the second layer is like pea soup or whatever. And it's like, ooh, okay.
Yeah.
And then the third layer, you have to rummage around through all the parsnips and you're carrots.
Like, am I really going to enjoy that layer of brandy butter at the bottom after I'm done with all this?
I mean, it sounds like a nightmare, like digging through into this, delving through these layers of compressed, jellified fucking Christmas goop dinner. Like, that's the last thing I want to do. But
this, probably nice.
I'm okay with the Christmas dinner in a can flavouring slash idea. Like, fuck it. Yeah, why not?
They're only £1.50 as well. So, you know, reasonable price.
A survey of 2,000 adults concluded that 36% of those who celebrate Christmas prefer traditional Christmas dinner to any other meal.
It's like their favourite meal.
36%. So what, a third of people are like, Christmas dinner is the best meal.
It's the best dinner.
Okay.
There's no better dinner than a Christmas dinner.
42% said they would eat it more often if it didn't take so long to cook. And the same amount said they would have it more often if it were not so expensive.
When you're looking to spend between £30 and £60 per person.
What?
Which nearly a third of people do.
Why is it? What are they having?
That's a lot of money.
What is the most costly bit of that?
Booze.
Obviously,
the fucking booze. That's what it is.
Right. Is that why they like it so much? Because they have loads of fucking wine and stuff.
Wait, look at that. The chef owner of Limpston Manor in Devon is called Michael Keynes.
Right.
Hello. My name is Michael Keynes.
What do you do?
Play with a ruby the size of a tangerine.
No, you're the says here.
You're only supposed to blow the bloody doors off.
Says here you're the chef owner at Limpton Manor in Devon.
That's right. I'm a chef now.
What did you think about this big soup, Christmas?
I think it was bloody awful.
Really?
But the house that I bought with it was very nice indeed.
Wow.
Yeah.
Actually, he said, that's no way to serve a Christmas dinner.
That's a brilliant Michael Caine impression.
Thanks, I wasn't trying.
Was Can he try and do voice. One?
Not after you've done yours.
Hello. Say it like that. Hello.
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 My name.
My name
is Michael Caine.
Is Michael Caine, and I am a nosy neighbour.
So the big soup brand of Heinz has big bits.
You ever had the big
bits.
Soup in it?
Yeah, what do big you think? Soup's pretty fucking good. Like the chicken one, you get big chunks of chicken. It's pretty nice.
There you go.
Pretty
nice. We've got a solid thumbs up from Michael Caine. It contains big chunks of turkey, obviously. Pigs in blankets, a bit concerning.
Not literally pigs in blankets, Lewis.
Oh,
it's right. sausages, little chipolatas, with a little bit of bacon wrapped around it to keep it nice and warm.
Oh, that's very thoughtful.
Yeah,
because otherwise they get cold.
They do.
Brussels sprouts. I mean, I couldn't think of anything worse to be in a tin than Brussels sprouts. Stuffing balls and potatoes with a gravy and cranberry sauce.
Gravy and cranberry sauce, interesting. If that's the base of the soup, that's...
If it's a hit with Shoppers, they will do more next year. So
let's hope.
Let's go out and buy it, everyone. And if it sells out, it's only 500 cans, I'm confident they're gone.
I see. The link work? Does the link work to buy it? It's out of stock. They've sold out. It's too late.
It's already too late. And it's not even December yet. That time of recording.
Got a nice picture of it.
Well, this is no good. How's anyone going to try it? Oh, it looks quite nice.
Fuck me. Oh my God, it looks amazing.
Wow.
It looks fucking amazing.
How have they made it look that good? What's that in it? That big thing?
That's a giant stuffing ball. The big thing. Look at the pigs in blankets. That looks fucking incredible. It looks like just a nice stew. I mean, there's a weird combination of things in there, sure. But
that's a fucking great sausage photo. At the bottom there.
Look, all the stuff around it.
See the sausage at the bottom?
Yeah.
And then the balls above it.
Looks like a cock.
A little bit, doesn't it? Do you not think? Looks like a little cock in there.
The blanket is kind of like a bacon foreskin.
Yes. Yeah. No, I'm glad you can see it. Just checking.
Yeah, it's
that
not
wasn't just,
you. Just
me. Okay, no. Good. I'm a little bit dubious about this. Feels a bit fakery, you know? I'd like to see this versus...
what it actually looks like. Well, it will look probably not look too appealing when you open it, but then when you heat it up, it'll probably look a bit nicer. I can't imagine the chunks of everything being quite that big in there.
As much as I love the traditional Christmas dinner, I'm down for these things.
I would 100% try it. It looks, I mean, that photo looks fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is definitely an unexpectedly positive fucking episode of Simon's Peculiar Portions.
Think about it. When you have Christmas dinner, there's always leftovers. You could make your own fucking big soup
Christmas
out of the leftovers.
Dinner soup. Yeah. Just fucking do it. Why not?
I think you can't just have gravy and cranberry sauce as the base of the soup. I think you need...
Don't see why not. Soak it up with a bit of bread. I like a lot of gravy.
You need beefstock. It down so it still tastes meaty. It can't just be gravy.
You got to have the bacon madness. And the turkey grease in there. Well, of course, the best gravy is made with all of the turkey grease and fat anyway, right? It's not good for you.
No.
But, you know, that's not why you're buying it.
And it's just a once a year thing.
I suppose the Brussels sprouts aren't too bad for you. It's just once a year. Yeah, you don't have it every day.
No. Although, if Heinz did start selling big soup
Christmas
for
dinner
real,
flavored.
I would probably buy
every day.
366, be on the safe side, tins at Christmas.
Why on the safe side?
In case it's a leap year.
Oh, right. I thought you were sort of some other reason. In case we needed two
maybe,
one day. Or
maybe at Christmas.
Someone came to visit.
At Christmas, I'll have two tins.
Treat yourself.
Yeah, why not? Why not?
What about on your birthday?
Do they do cake? Birthday cake in a can?
Someone will. Yeah,
I'm sure
fuck
it must exist.
They do bread in a can.
Oh my God, Heinz literally do cakes in tins that you open up, you plop it on a plate, and then you can microwave it.
Yeah,
that's literally a product that they do.
Yeah, I mean, the tin shape for food is never like the most appetizing, is it? It's kind of like the dog food.
Yeah, that's why you got to put it in a bowl and not eat it out of the tin.
Yeah, you can't be eating stuff out of a tin. It's not done. Also, how do you heat up a tin now?
You plonk it in a microwavable bowl and then put it in the microwave.
No, but imagine you were going to eat
it
out of the tin.
Oh!
Do you boil it?
Put it in the fire.
The fire?
Yeah.
With a dent in it?
No, just don't bother.
No, you have to put the dent in, then you put it in the fire.
No,
then...
but when it pops... because you haven't put a dent in it to release the steam. When it pops open, that's when you know that it's done.
But how do you open it?
You don't have to. It explodes.
Right. In the fire.
Yeah. I mean, there is a slight sort of shrapnel sort of.
Well, they all, the danger though, as well, is you might eat it from the wrong end. Start with the dessert.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, that's only if you get the product that doesn't exist. Right. So it's probably not going to be an issue.
That, I see. You won't come across that problem very much.
So they just created for a meme.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. No, that makes sense to me. Can't take my eye off that sausage cock. It's very distracting. Can we get rid of it?
I'll get rid of it.
It's just in a, such an awkward position. I'm just, it's just I can't stop looking at it.
Okay, how's that? Is that better?
It's just so familiar to me that I feel like I've seen it somewhere.
Save it as well.
Save it! Yeah, as the desktop background. Just every time I load this computer up for PeePee, I'm just presented with my eyes just instantly get drawn to a tiny chipolata penis. There we are. See, no one who actually looks at this is going to see a cock there. But I am.
Yeah, and that's the important thing. You can see a cock.
Well, that's what Christmas is all about, really, isn't it? You know, that's the Christmas spirit. You know.
Sure.
It's what baby Jesus said.
What did baby Jesus say? I'm going to read this verbatim from the website. Hey, Lewis.
Simon Honeydew Lane.
With the festive season in full throttle, you may be struggling to find the perfect gift for the one on your list who's ahem particular. If you're still searching for inspiration, take a look back on some of the most extravagant gifts ever given. From Jennifer Aniston's Chanel bicycle to a 17th century architectural marvel.
Good God. Well, when I thought particular, you meant, you know...
Picky.
Like, doesn't... It has already got everything.
High maintenance people.
Yeah, like, doesn't eat green things. That's what I thought you meant.
I don't like green things.
Not is a super celeb.
Oh, my God. I hate that you can't.
I don't even think you'd want that one. Number one, solid gold bathtub. If I bought you a solid gold bathtub, how would you feel?
I mean, it's... Like, what the fuck would I do with it? Where would it go?
To fucking bathe in it, I assume.
Bathe in it? Like, what? How?
Bath.
I'm going to have to get rid of the old bathtub. I'm going to have to get someone to install the new bathtub.
I've also got... I mean, it's got to be delivered.
And if I just get some random guy to install it, if he realises it's actually gold, he might just steal it. Or it might end up having big dents or scratches in it because he doesn't realise how valuable the fucking thing is.
But yeah, that's a pain in the arse, actually. You don't want to buy a gold bathtub for someone. That's what Mike Tyson did for his then-wife actor Robin Givens. God, what do you do?
$2 million this bathtub cost. Wait, it wasn't even a Christmas present. It was a birthday present.
Next.
Then why the fuck are we reading this?
This isn't anything Christmassy at all.
It's not even Christmas. Well, it says festive season.
Oh, I see. It's a very loose... Okay,
is this a fucking Christmas present?
What's next?
Falling Water was a Christmas present.
Someone bought the fucking the house, the famous architectural Frank Lloyd Wright marvel, as a Christmas present.
Well, this can't be real. Angelina Jolie... bought Brad Pitt a waterfall and the surrounding land as a Christmas present for Brad Pitt.
Not actually the...
The gesture was inspired by Pitt's love of falling water, right?
A house that was made famously. We did a TTT map on it. That's how I found out about it.
There's a Lego thing of it as well.
Yeah, basically it looks like a normal house because... Like, every other house that's been built since has modelled itself off this. Do you know what I mean?
Buying someone a waterfall. Ugh. Where am I going to put this? It's fucking dumb. That's really fucking dumb. Okay, a bag.
That's more like it. Yeah, a present. A bag, yes.
Kanye bought Kim Kardashian a bag.
Fine, move on. That sounds normal.
Are you not interested to see how expensive it is?
Fuck.
Oh my god, it's the ugliest thing I've ever seen in my life. It looks like you painted it, Lewis. Still, look, cracking pair of tits on there.
It's got...
that's nice.
It looks like a whole load of devil women are eating one another and have their tits out on it. It's garbage.
It's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. So how much did this cost? It didn't say.
A ludicrous amount of money,
I think,
probably.
It's the only one that exists.
A
so I'm not even sure.
Composition by contemporary artist George Kondo. There you go. So wearable, unique art. God knows how much it's worth.
A Birkin handbag is probably expensive alone. Having a hand-painted, unique piece of art on it. I mean, this is the only one that exists.
That is bizarre. That is just... It's awful, isn't it?
I don't think I've ever seen her out and about photographed with that.
No, I feel like it's...
She's probably, oh, thanks, honey. This is great. I'll just put it away, safe. You know, I don't want it to get damaged. What if it rains? The paint will wash off.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem with any of these things. You've got to understand they're all going to get dirty from being outside. You know?
That's true. Any of these things, like the waterfall or the bathtub, get dirty when outside.
Exactly.
Yeah. Bicycle. But a Chanel bicycle. In 2008, actress Courtney Cox purchased one of only 50 Chanel bicycles.
Right.
For her friend, fellow Friends co-star Jennifer Aniston.
Right.
Who was keen to take up cycling. Never cycled before in her life.
Really?
$12,000, pretty cheap. Compared to that bathtub, certainly.
Yeah, which was $2 million. I mean, it's a bike. Looks nice. Looks like a nice bike.
See, it's got the bag on it. A nice bag.
Oh, I see. It's got a Chanel saddle bag. Is that the only connection? I mean, what else do they make? Perfume? Does
sure.
It smell nice?
Yeah.
I don't know if they're, you know, a famed bike manufacturer, are they? Surely someone else must have...
One of them only sold for $6,500.
Oh, they got down in value. Well, there you go. They're not.
Yeah, they went down in value. And in 6 years, they almost halved in value.
Well.
Sure, good investment.
Doesn't even sound that expensive compared to this.
A plane.
Yeah, a jet. Like, look how many
this
fucking windows it's got.
This isn't the actual plane.
Oh, okay.
But it's like this plane.
A similar model to the Challenger 85. Ooh, who bought this? Beyonce and Jay-Z. Holy crap.
Jay-Z gifted it to Beyonce.
A private
Wait,
jet.
No, gifted to Jay-Z by Beyonce as a Father's Day gift. Nothing to do with Christmas.
Just a casual Father's Day private jet.
Here's a jet, honey. I hope it's the one you wanted. Jay-Z's like, it's not actually the one I wanted.
Which one did he want? Like a gold-plated one, probably.
He wanted the 87. Not
oh,
the
yeah, he's eye on the 87. Well, she wasn't paying attention. She went into the shop and was like, I want to buy a private jet for my boyfriend for Father's Day. And they were like, oh, we recommend this Bombardier Challenger 85.
It just makes me think of like a mum going into like a game shop and saying, I'm looking for, it's like a games console. My son really wants a games console. I can't remember what it's called though. And then she ends up, you know, with a Switch and he wanted, you know, the Xbox.
I hope this is the one you wanted. So, yeah.
It's like, oh.
That happened so much. But, you know. Worked out fine.
Thanks, Mum. I love Animal Crossing.
Would you even... I mean, how does this work?
What, a plane?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I think it's to do with differences in air pressure as the air moves over the wings.
But do you get like a...
It provides lift.
Where do you keep it?
An upward force.
Where do you put it?
That is more than...
What about
the
pilot?
Of gravity that's pulling it downward towards the
Do you rent like a hangar? Do you have to pay a subscription? Who maintains it? What's the whole It's not like, I mean, with a car, you kind of take it in for an MOT every year.
Yeah.
And you drive it yourself.
And that's all you do.
But this is, there's a lot of extra faff. You know what I mean?
Mm.
It's like, oh, God, I've got a plane now.
If you're a billionaire, it's probably nothing to worry about.
Right.
You're probably like, I'll just put it with the other planes that I have.
I see. Okay.
Like.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Okay, what's the next one?
A super yacht.
Not just a yacht. A super yacht that looks about the size of a fucking cruise ship. But this isn't the actual one, again. It's not the actual one. This is just what a yacht looks like.
Similar one. $84 million. Indian business tycoon Anil Ambani bought it for his wife, Tina. A super yacht named Tian. So which, like a weird anagram?
Yeah.
Okay.
The yacht was nicknamed the Rolls-Royce of the Waters.
Oh, there you go.
Not very original. That's an awkward nickname as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit of a mouthful.
Usually nicknames are like short and snappy. The actual name of the yacht is Tian. The nickname is the Rolls-Royce of the Waters. It feels like it's the wrong way around.
Right.
Yeah.
I see.
Mm. Cartier pearl necklace.
Doesn't sound too bad. In 1970, New York banker Morton Plank.
Fantastic name.
I know. Infamously traded his six-story mansion for one Cartier pearl necklace for his wife. What? Oh, I see. This was when pearls were...
You ever given a lady a pearl necklace?
I think they'd rather have a six-story mansion.
Yeah.
But obviously this happened just before...
The price of pearls crashed.
Because pearls became farmable. I guess they couldn't farm them before that. So pearls were really valuable.
Get fucked.
That's a good bit of karma, isn't it? Man, still worth 160 grand
this
today.
This isn't the actual one. This is just a pearl necklace.
Oh, okay.
A fountain.
Yeah.
Encrusted with rubies and pearls.
Mm-hmm. This was from Anne Boleyn, the Queen of England, who was one of King Henry VIII's wives. One of the, I think, slightly shorter lived ones, wasn't she, Anne Boleyn?
Here you go, dear. Yeah, 35 she was when she died.
Here's a fountain for you, dear.
It goes on the table.
I hope you like it.
I'm sorry, excuse me?
A table fountain that pumped rose water to guests to freshen their hands.
The most expensive diamond. Is this the actual... It's Richard Burton and Liz Taylor. No picture of the diamond.
This is a podcast, so...
Okay, that's true. I do forget. Richard Burton had just purchased what was then the world's most expensive diamond ever sold at auction.
In 1969. Nice.
Nice.
It was a gift for Elizabeth Taylor, and it became one of the world's most famous diamonds. But this is it. It's a story. It became famous because
was
of this sort of legend that was attached to it. Yeah. Prior to the auction in New York, Burton and Taylor had the diamond flown to them in Gstaad, a resort town in the Swiss Alps. They went there for the good air.
Yeah.
Noticing how enamoured with the diamond Elizabeth Taylor was, Burton was determined to buy it, and on the day of the auction, they were in the UK. He arranged with his lawyer to bid by phone, set his maximum bid at 1 million, believing this to be sufficient to purchase the diamond, as the previous record for any diamond was 12 years earlier, $305,000.
Maximum bid was 1 million that he was willing to part for this diamond. The final price achieved was $1,050,000. So he didn't win it.
Oh my God.
But he then eventually bought it the next day for $1.1 million.
So
he just contacted the person that won it and said, I want to buy it off you for $1.1 million. And they were like, oh, okay, I don't really care. Whatever.
Wow. These are really, are you getting some good gift ideas from this fucking
list? No, not at all.
No. Roman Abramovich, obviously owner of Chelsea, and I think he's one of those oligarchs, isn't he, maybe?
He's one of those, yeah.
He bought a piece of art called Alberto Giacometti's Femme de Venise.
What does it look like?
Femme de Venise.
Can we describe what it looks like? Is there a picture?
It looks...
Is this it?
Like... Fuck, it looks like a incredibly weird skeletal plastic figure.
It looks like a tall, kind of metal, very thin skeleton. It
looks like a Slender Man.
It looks scary. What, it's a very odd gift to give to your partner.
He bought it for $14 million.
Jesus Christ!
No wonder they haven't got a picture of it. It's so awful. God. Well, apparently he loved it, though. And so does everyone else, because it's wank.
Okay.
Wanky art wank.
Taj Mahal.
What are you talking about? Well, I guess that was built as a gift to his wife, wasn't it, famously?
Yeah. Spent the equivalent of nearly $1 billion in modern currency. Call a bungeance.
That you're having a strong.
Yeah.
Don't worry, we'll get you sorted out. We'll get some...
Didn't she die before he finished it?
Yeah, I think he died as well, didn't he? I think everyone.
They both died because it took 22 years to build it.
Yeah. There was going to be a second one, wasn't there?
Yeah, an opposite one, a black one.
Yeah, on the opposite side of the river.
That would have taken another 22 years. But everyone that was involved in the construction of the first one was dead. So they didn't bother in the end.
Yeah, and they were like, what the fuck is this? It's just a big thing in the middle of nowhere. And then the final extravagant gift that we're going to talk about is...
Who gifted it, Lewis?
King Abdullah, who I believe...
Sorry, what was his name?
King Abdullah.
Abdullah bin...
Abdulaziz Al Saud, king of the Saudi Arabian...
Kingdom.
Yeah. At the time. He showered President Obama with gifts. Sounds a bit erotic.
Oh, it does.
A bit sexy. Among the swag.
Why did they say swag? Why did they use the word swag?
He was a white gold watch estimated at over $60,000.
Mm-hmm.
A jewellery set for the First Lady estimated at $500,000. And jewellery sets worth $80,000 for the first daughters, Sasha and Malia Obama. There you go. So... King Abdullah bin Abdulaziz Al Saud presented the Obama family with $1.3 million of gifts, which caused a minor political controversy at the time. However, the Obama family were not allowed to keep any of the items, and they were handed over to like the National Archives because they're all symbolic gifts, right?
They put them in a crate and they load it up and they put it in that giant warehouse where the Ark of the Covenant is.
Yeah.
Everything goes in there. All these gifts just stored away, to be seen by anyone ever again.
Diplomatic gifts, you know, that you know, you just want to show that you've got, you know, a big...
How is this supposed to help you find a gift for someone, though?
Right,
because
even that gift...
I'm looking for good ideas.
They didn't even get that gift.
Right.
That gift is now in a box somewhere. That is just a waste of gift. You can't even re-gift it, you know? Unless, I guess, the US government need to give a gift to someone, in which case they go through the warehouse and they're like, which of these gifts do we re-gift?
What if you're like, okay, all right, I got to get my wife Sharon something. Sharon, what's she like? She loves the Taj Mahal. Obviously, I can't afford to build a Taj Mahal and I don't have the space. We've got a very small garden. What I could do is I could build a gazebo inspired by the Taj Mahal. But I've got to do it in secret so she doesn't know that I built it.
Right. And it might take 22 years.
Oh, Sharon, I need somewhere to store all my tools. So I'm gonna build a shed in the garden. And then you put some fencing up so she can't see what you're doing. And then you build like the gazebo. And then come Christmas Day, you're like, Sharon, come to the garden. I've got something to show you. And then you pull down the fencing and there's the gazebo. There you go, Sharon, my queen. I have built you the Taj Mahal of gazebos.
Oh, I love it. Oh, thanks, Jeff.
This sounds brilliant. This is a great idea. I don't see anything wrong with this. This is very wholesome. What's wrong? That sounds great. That's a great little bit of advice. That sounds very romantic.
Yeah.
Jeff is a romantic man. You got a little bit of romance in you, Simon. A little bit in your heart.
I think so.
I think so. You know, who knew that, you know, you would, underneath that rough exterior, that
very
cynical,
rough, grizzled,
mocking, you would have a little bit of love for Sharon
at least
in there.
That's how it should go.
Right.
The real story was Jeff took 22 years to build that gazebo in the back garden.
He built it for himself.
During that time, his wife died.
Fuck.
And he died. And then when it was finished, the ghost of Jeff pulled down that fencing to show Sharon, and she was just a skeleton.
Wow.
In a lawn chair. Staring eyeless into nothing.
Wow.
Still romantic?
Yeah. I think those ones, the after-death generosities, are always very romantic.
Mm.
Oh, he was so romantic. He built this great structure to me when I was dead and he was dead. yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's strangely... It is, like, weirdly couched in this romantic ideal. But I reckon he just built it for himself, you know?
No. Like, he hated Taj Mahals, the man who built it.
Did he?
He was like, oh, God. The missus wants a Taj Mahal. Bloody hate him. Bloody hate
I fucking
him.
Hate Taj Mahals.
Oh, God, I can't stand Taj Mahals. I'm going to have to build one. Oh, fuck
me. It's going to take ages.
It's going to take 22 years. And both her and me will be dead by the time it's bloody finished.
It doesn't just want one of them. She wants two of them in different fucking colours.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Make your mind up, love. Do you want a white one? Do you want a black one?
What story?
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, have a think about that, you know. And the moral of that story is you can't win.
You just can't win.
So
you
why
can't make
bother?
Him happy.
Why
you can't
get
make him happy, don't
present.
Even bother.
Just fucking, just don't bother.